All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Monday, everybody. Today's October 20th, 2025. And our top stories this morning, both of them are coming from across the pond in France. The first one, we've got a big settlement affecting BNP Paribas. That is the biggest bank in France. And they were just found liable. This is a court case in the U.S. in the Southern District of New York. We had a couple of former Sudanese citizens who are now U.S. citizens are suing BNP Paribas over genocide that was committed by the Sudanese government years ago. Now, the interesting thing is apparently BNP Paribas was facilitating transactions for the Sudanese government, even though they were sanctioned by the U.S. at the time. They were doing it through a Swiss subsidiary, which means that they were basically helping the Sudanese government in violation of U.S. sanctions. And so the Southern District of New York, this court has found them liable. And they have awarded these three bellwether plaintiffs up to $20 million. Well, not up to, it was $20 million. That was the settlement. Now, here's the thing. These three bellwether plaintiffs, you know, a bellwether plaintiff is when we have this, all right, so many people are lined up to sue you. All right, let's hear one case or two cases and let's just see what it looks like. And that will inform how we treat all the other cases. So these three bellwether plaintiffs get $20 million. There are 23,000 other plaintiffs. So let's do some simple math here. Three guys get 20 million. There's 23,000 more, assuming the same amount, potentially up to $150 billion worth of settlements here if everybody in line gets the same settlement. Of course, they won't do that. But that just goes to show you how potentially damaging for this bank that things could be here. Some analysts are saying the settlement could be upwards of $10 billion. Either way, the market cap of BNP Paribas is only about $75 billion. So that bank, their stock is down big this morning. That's a pretty big case to keep an eye on. You know, a G-SIB bank out of France, potentially billions in losses from a settlement, not to mention the black eye of, sorry about the whole facilitating genocide thing. Whoops, are bad. But you know what? There were fees to be collected. And if we didn't do it, somebody else was going to, right? It's probably what the bankers are going to say. Pretty gross, not going to lie. So that one's going on this morning. But that's not the only story coming out of France. We've also got the French government just saw their credit rating cut by Standard & Poor's. By the way, September called, they want their headline back. Yep, a downgrade of the French government. That is the second time in a month we've seen this. Fitch did the same thing back in September. But last week, we had some developments. Prime Minister Lecornu, who is struggling for his political life, he managed to survive a no-confidence vote last week. And the only way he did it was by cutting a deal with the socialists. What's the worst thing that could happen? And in this deal with the socialists, they basically ditched their plans to raise the retirement age in France. And the raising of the retirement age, a very controversial policy, was just about the only thing that the French have done to reduce government spending since, I don't know, Joan of Arc. It goes back quite a ways. So Standard & Poor's comes in and says, okay, you know, you're doing the politically expedient thing. You're making your long-term debt problems worse. Hey, remember that whole debt breaks thing where you all guys all decided in order to fund World War III, you're going to print infinite money, get rid of your debt breaks. So Standard & Poor's becomes the second of the three big ratings agencies to cut France's credit rating. They are now single A plus, down from double A negative. That's two bad ones in a row here. French bonds, the yields are rising on those this morning. And look, guys, it's just another instance of there just isn't enough gold in the world for what's coming. And I've been saying that for a couple of months now on this channel. I mean, some version of that I've been using for years, but that phrase, there just isn't enough gold in the world for what's coming, I've been using that quite a bit. And, you know, maybe that's got something to do with the fact that gold is now, what, $4,100? Gold's up like another 100 bucks this morning. Silver is up along with it. Speaking of metals, we had a pretty violent sell-off in metals on Friday. I think a lot of us were expecting Mr. Slammy to show up at some point. Now, that sell-off appears to have been fully manufactured by that increase in margin requirements on the COMEX that the CME group passed. That has now been processed through the system. It caused a momentary sell-off before selling. And now we are right back up to your regularly scheduled rally in metals. Both are looking really good again this morning. And look, the reason for that is you have worries about the bond market. You have worries about liquidity. You have a flight to safety. People are starting to realize, hey, things in the bond market aren't so good. We had these Tricolor and First Brands bankruptcies here. Not really sure who's got collateral and if the collateral is good or not. You know what? Let's just position safely. And they go to gold. Now, that's all going on in the gold and the bond market. Meanwhile, stocks just keep going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, up day in and day out, this morning being no exception. But, you know, funny I should mention that First Brands and Tricolor. Sorry, I got my bankruptcy wires crossed there. Primolend, that's another one. We heard about them Friday after the market closed. Primolend is an auto dealership financing company. And they have not paid their bonds in 3 months, $75 million worth of bonds. Not a huge one, right? This is kind of like along the lines of Tricolor. Wasn't a huge outfit. Not big losses. However, their creditors now want to put them into bankruptcy. And they have hired Houlihan Lokey to advise on their options. And I don't know if you guys have heard that name before, but that's the same outfit that Evergrande and Country Garden Climb hired. When a company hires Houlihan Lokey to advise, it means we're broke and we're bankrupt and we need to figure out what to do. And these guys come in and tell them who to screw over and who to pay. So it looks like this is another one that is about to go down. Again, this is an auto dealership financing company. Two is a coincidence. Three is a trend. And this is now the third in the auto space. Tricolor, First Brands, Primolend. Now they're slightly different. Tricolor was an auto dealership. First Brands was an auto parts company. Primolend is an auto dealership financing company. Three different corners, but the same industry, all dealing with some form of finance and collateral. And, well, it looks like fraud involved in all of them. I shouldn't say there's no fraud necessarily being suggested by Primolend yet, just that they have missed 3 months of payments. So not sure that there was fraud there. I should take that one back. But, guys, that's three in a row. All pertaining to auto finance. Pay attention, you Carvana, you CarMax, you Ally Financial shareholders. Take a look at what happened to Carvana. Take a look at what happened to them in 2022, the last time the ABS market threw a fit. These are companies that are wholly dependent on securitization of their loans in order to get the big chunk of cash back and go issue more loans and collect more fees. Without the ABS market, these companies cannot survive. And something tells me the ABS market is going to turn into a desert real fast. Also going on this morning, along the same lines, Vietnamese stocks went crashing yesterday, more than 5%. Not something I typically follow, but their government inspector released a report on 67 bond issuers and 5 banks and found various violations involving these bonds, misuse of proceeds, inadequate disclosures, premature project sales, missed payments, all kinds of problems with these Vietnamese bonds. This is almost like kind of like a mix of the Evergrande story and the Chinese real estate market collapse combined with the collateral and the bond fraud going on in the United States. You put those two stories in a blender, you hit power, and this story out of Vietnam is the slop that you get out of that. So that one's interesting. Their stock's down big this morning. Another collateral warning, another bond warning, and just not enough gold in the world for what's going on here, guys. We got a couple of other ones going on this morning. China's rare earth shipments down again for the month of September. AWS had a big outage last night, Amazon Web Services, but, you know, it's only like a third of the whole freaking internet. No big deal there. The Louvre was robbed. That's interesting. It's like basically the plot of Hudson Hawk happened over the weekend. It's a terrible movie. And last but not least, beyond disgusting, I mean, beyond meat, stock is up over 50% this morning on a short squeeze. Who had that one on their 2020s bingo? Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head? Let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. And as always, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm so you can come back and have your coffee with the melon heads tomorrow as we go through markets. And we do this one every single day. And right now, the S&P 500 is up 32 points, about a half of 1% ahead of the opening bell. The Dow is up 238 points, also a half of percent higher ahead of the opening bell. And the NASDAQ is up that same 0.5%, 117 points in the green, in lieu of absolute catastrophe number go up. The U.S. dollar is a little bit stronger this morning, 98.56. That's up by 13 basis points. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are lower once again. The 30-year Treasury, 4.581. That's off by 2 basis points. The 10-year's at 3.989, off by 2 points and change. The 2-year, 3.455. That's off almost 1 point. And the 1-month Treasury is down a fraction of a point at 4.073. Looking over at the commodities board, there goes the metals once again this morning. Spot gold, $4,319, almost $4,320. That's up by 69 bucks or 1.6%. Hey, check out that December gold contract here, 4,335. That's up by 122 bucks, 2.9% higher this morning. Gold is ripping here. Bigger move in New York versus London. Now, we are still seeing a little bit of contango here. The December futures are a little bit higher than that London price. But keep an eye on that difference there, guys. That's interesting. Now, looking over at spot silver, we have got another rip in silver this morning. It looks like that sell-off was short-lived after all. $52.48 for spot silver. That's up 57 cents or 1.1% higher. That's your London price. The New York price is at $51.18. That's up by $1.08 this morning or 2.1%. We are still looking at about $1.20, almost $1.30 of backwardation in the silver market, though. That London price still significantly higher than the price in New York a month from now. And take a look at this one, guys. This is the cost to borrow SLV shares. And although there are 200,000 shares currently available, the fee to borrow those shares, 19.25%. Outrageously expensive to borrow shares of SLV. And that's just another indicator that the shortage of silver in London is still going on. Despite Friday's pullback, it appears to have been totally engineered by the CME group. Looking over at some of the other metals, we've got copper is higher by about a nickel this morning. Platinum is up about $16 higher for platinum, $1,634. Palladium, meanwhile, down about $7, and crude oil is down about 93 cents, $56.22 for December WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin, having a pretty good market morning. It actually had a pretty good weekend all around, 110,676. That is up sharply from the lows that we saw on Friday. So Bitcoin showing signs of life, but still the lower end of the band it's been trading at for the last couple of weeks. As always, guys, be careful with your leverage. Crypto winter is just around the corner, if not here already. And here's the big one going on this morning. BNP slumps after ruling raises risk of costly settlement. This is going to be an expensive one for the biggest French lender. BNP Paribas fell to a six-month low after losing a court case that analysts said could result in a costly settlement. Shares of France's biggest lender fell as much as 10.6% in Paris trading on Monday, the steepest decline since early April. They also hit the lowest level since then. The move comes after a trial loss and class action alleging BNP helped finance genocide in Sudan. A jury awarded $20 million to three bellwether plaintiffs out of 23,000, Bloomberg Intelligence said, adding the decision will increase pressure on the lender to settle. Hey, you think you want to pay out $20 million to each of 23,000 litigants? Good luck with that one. This result is clearly wrong and ignores important evidence the bank was not permitted to introduce, said BNP Paribas in the statement. The firm has the unwavering intention to appeal. Yeah, not unusual considering they just got told they have to write a check for $20 million. It also said the verdict is specific to these three plaintiffs and any attempt to extrapolate is necessarily wrong, as is any speculation regarding potential settlement. Well, why are they calling them bellwether plaintiffs then? The bank does not have any pressure to settle this case. Yeah, they do. A lot of pressure. That's why the stock is down. The bank will likely keep pressing its defenses in post-trial motions and on appeal, but pressure to settle will rise and for amounts much higher than we've estimated, said senior litigation analyst Elliot Stein in a note. We don't rule out a settlement in the low billions, he said, while noting that a potential settlement of as much as $10 billion wasn't impossible. BNP Paribas was a defendant in a civil class action before the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, brought by former Sudanese citizens who are now U.S. citizens, claiming they were injured by the government of Sudan between 1997 and 2011, according to the lender's report. The plaintiffs alleged that transactions processed by the bank, predominantly through its Swiss-based subsidiary, with Sudanese entities subject to U.S. sanctions, make the bank and its U.S. subsidiary liable for injuries perpetrated by the plaintiffs, perpetrated to the plaintiffs by the government of Sudan. So they violate U.S. sanctions because they use a Swiss subsidiary to do transactions with these sanctioned entities. And why were they sanctioned? Because they were slaughtering people. And now, years later, the court says, you know what? It's your fault. You gave them the money they needed to do this slaughter. Therefore, you're liable. And the losses are potentially more than you got. Take a look at BNP Paribas this morning. The stock is now down 7.4%, trading at $69.33. I'm sorry, 69.36 euros. This is a Parisian bank, so that's being quoted in euros. Now, look at the market cap here, 79.8 billion. So if they're forced to pay out $10 billion, that is going to be a big chunk of the bank's capital that gets wiped out overnight on this one. So keep an eye on this. And you know what? Not the only bad news in France this morning. We also got French bonds fall after unscheduled S&P downgrade on budget risk. And I couldn't help but notice the unscheduled thing there. Do we schedule our downgrades in advance? Do we let people know so they can front run and trade it? I thought that was a little odd, the use of the word unscheduled there. But S&P has abruptly downgraded the French credit rating. French bonds declined after S&P Global downgraded the nation's sovereign credit score, an unscheduled move that highlights its fiscal woes and places its debt at risk of forced selling by some funds. Yields on French debt rose, led by longer-dated tenors, with 10-year yields up 3 basis points to 3.39%, compared to a 1 basis point move in their German counterparts. Not a huge move in these French bonds here, but they're anticipating some forced selling because of the now lower credit rating. The euro steadied after coming under pressure late Friday when S&P lowered the country's score from AA negative to A+. So that may be driving some of the strength in the Dixie this morning, the euro being a little bit lower on this news. The downgrade means France has lost its AA rating at two of the three major credit assessors in little more than a month, a step that risks compelling some funds with ultra-strict investment criteria to sell the country's bonds. Fitch Ratings cut France's score in September, with Moody's Ratings due to release its verdict on Friday. So not a big move in the French bonds, but they're expecting a big move here because a lot of funds, you have to be at least AA or higher, according to the fund's rules and prospectus, in order to invest in those. So they're expecting a lot of forced selling here because of this downgrade. And it also keeps the fiscal policies of the European Union's second largest economy under scrutiny, as Prime Minister Sebastian Lecornu looks to push a budget through a divided National Assembly. He managed to remain in office last week, boosting local markets, but only after ceding to demands from the suspension of President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform that aimed to bolster public finances. So he got out of political jail by spending more money. Pay attention, because this is what's going to happen in the U.S. with the debt ceiling, right? Or with the funding of the government, they're going to raise spending in exchange for raising spending, because that's all these governments ever do, is increase spending. And so in this case, they got rid of the raising of the retirement age. They're calling it pension reform. It was going to make it, you have to be older to retire. That would have saved the country a lot of money. Of course, it was very unpopular with people. And in order to get the socialists to back the prime minister, they got rid of that pension reform, spending more money. And S&P said, look, we got to downgrade you because of that. Now a lot of firms, a lot of funds are going to be forced to sell France's debt. And we got another debt problem this morning. Prima Lend creditors consider bankruptcy push as payments stall. This is now three. It is now officially a trend. Tricolor, First Brands, and Prima Lend. Creditors of Prima Lend are considering forcing the auto dealership financing company into bankruptcy after months without payments. Sources familiar with the situation revealed, according to a report by Bloomberg. Again, this is considering forcing bankruptcy. They're not bankrupt yet, but they probably are. The company, which provides financing to auto dealerships serving subprime borrowers, there's that subprime again, faces mounting pressure from bondholders as the industry struggles in the wake of Tricolor Holdings' recent collapse. Holders of PrimaLend's $75 million bond maturing in 2028 have engaged legal representation from White & Case to evaluate their options and potential next steps, according to people with knowledge of the matter who requested anonymity due to the private nature of the discussions. In response to the financial challenges, PrimaLend has bought in investment bank Houlihan Lokey for financial advice, these same sources confirmed. Guys, you do not hire Houlihan Lokey as an advisor unless you're trying to figure out who you're going to screw over and who you're going to pay. I've seen this one before. So expect a bankruptcy from PrimaLend in the days ahead. They're not bankrupt yet, but they're close. And again, this would be the third one in the auto space, in the subprime auto space. Tricolor, First Brands, now PrimaLend. Pay attention, all you Carvana, CarMax, and Ally shareholders. Anything having to do with auto finance right now, risky. And we got another debt problem this morning, this time in Vietnam. Vietnam stocks sink 5% on fears of renewed credit market squeeze. All right, Vietnamese stocks tumbled the most in 6 months amid renewed concern that tighter scrutiny of corporate bond issuance may once again freeze credit and weigh on growth. The VN index tumbled 5.5% at the close on Monday. That's the most since April. Vingroup, Vinhomes, and Bank of Foreign Trade of Vietnam were among the biggest drags on the measure. The Government Inspectorate of Vietnam on Friday released findings from an inspection of 67 bond issuers, including five banks, that highlighted various violations, according to local media reports. The offenses included misuse of proceeds, inadequate disclosures, poor capital management, delayed principal and interest payments, and premature project sales. All big problems for the bonds. We've seen that before. The premature project sales, the real estate developers in China and the satellite countries around it are basically Ponzi schemes. They pay for the construction of buildings by pre-selling the next building after that. And as long as the investment capital keeps coming in, they can keep doing that. Of course, that actually resembles the AI bubble a whole hell of a lot, doesn't it? But I digress. Heightened jitters over the credit market in Vietnam echo broader concerns over borrowers' credit worthiness across global markets. Guys, we are kind of like slowly walking into a global credit crisis here. France, in the U.S., subprime autos, BNP Paribas, Vietnam, all over the world. Investors are looking for signs of stress from the U.S. to Europe as high equity valuations and lingering trade pressures cloud the economic outlook. Reports of Novaland Investment Group's failure to pay interest due October 16th on more than $335 million of convertible bonds and a potential government probe also weighed on risk appetite. Apparently, this Novaland Investment Group was one of the biggest offenders in this report here. $335 million of bonds not getting paid. And again, not something I typically look at, but the VN index, this is the Vietnamese stock index, down 5.5% in 1 day. Big sell-off in Vietnamese stocks. It looks like it was a two-day sell-off. But again, look at the valuations we were at. You know, stocks sold off all the way to valuations they were at about 2 weeks ago. So that last article kind of mentioned, hey, we've got valuations at these all-time highs. The same thing in the U.S. The stocks just keep going higher and higher, even though all these subprime credit issues are starting to pop up. Problems at regional banks, problem at French banks, problem at Vietnamese banks, gold at all-time highs. You know what? Just go ahead and YOLO into meme stocks. I'm sure everything is going to be fine. Oh, that's right. We also got this trade war going on. China's rare earth magnet exports to the U.S. slip ahead of Trump Xi. I think they're saying Trump Xi meeting here. China's shipments of rare earth magnets to the U.S. and the European Union dropped in September. That is before Beijing escalated tensions by ramping up export curbs amid stormy trade talks between the world's top two economies. Remember they said they were going to increase the flow of rare earths? They never did. And now they're saying they're going to decrease it. So that's fun. Exports to the U.S. of the tiny but powerful magnets fell for a second month to 421 tons, down from 590 tons in August. That's according to Chinese customs data. Volumes to Europe slid to 2,461 tons, down from 2,582. The data followed separate releases on Saturday that showed a retreat for all rare earth products, a category dominated by magnets. Rare earth magnets, essential for electric vehicles, wind turbines, and military hardware, have become Beijing's most potent weapon in the standoff with Washington. Also, we had this one overnight. I think this story is behind us, but a lot of people were getting nervous while we slept here. AWS says cloud service has recovered after widespread outage. Amazon Web Services, the world's largest cloud provider, said its service had recovered after a widespread disruption on Monday degraded services for a range of customers, including government agencies, AI companies, and financial platforms. Yikes. AWS has fixed an underlying problem with a regional gateway on the U.S. East Coast that caused the disruption, the company said on its health dashboard just over 3 hours after its first update on the issue. Some users might see slower responses or increased error rates during the recovery. User complaints began spiking just after 7:30 a.m. London time, according to data from Down Detector. Amazon's cloud service underpins a large chunk of the internet, accounting for about a third of the cloud market. Any outage has major ripple effects. We call that a single point vulnerability in the nuclear industry when there's one common link that can take down multiple systems at the same time. Seems like AWS is a bit of a vulnerability there. Hopefully that wasn't a hack and we won't find out anything about nefarious adversaries or bad actors, but it appears the issue has been resolved for now. And this story was kind of crazy. Won't spend too much time on this, but France's Louvre Museum to stay closed on Monday after a jewel heist. This story broke yesterday morning. These guys, they rolled up outside the building. There was construction work going on the building. So they all wore yellow vests. They made themselves look like they were supposed to be there. They used an industrial man lift to get over the security fences up to a second story window where they used angle grinders to get through the windows right as the museum was opening. So there was like the chaos of shift change and tourists were starting to come in. Run in, smash and grab. They grabbed the crown jewels from the Napoleonic era. They're in and out in 7 minutes, and priceless items were stolen. It looks like they dropped some of the items on the way out. They found this like emerald diamond necklace that used to belong to the French Empress broken on the ground. This was obviously a professional job. These guys knew exactly what they did. They were on a very tight schedule. They took off in motorcycles. They had obviously scouted the location, knew what tools they needed to get through the windows, exactly what window to hit. Pretty crazy story here. No word about the dollar value of what was stolen. Good luck fencing this stuff. I don't know how you're going to sell this unless you got some like eccentric billionaire collector who just wants to keep this in his closet for only him to see. But pretty crazy story out of France. That's our third French story today. Hey, France, take it easy. You know, make an espresso, settle down, stay quiet, let the rest of the world have some news. And this story is kind of beyond hilarious. Beyond Meat stock soars 70% amid potential short squeeze. It's a short squeeze. All right. People didn't suddenly wake up and realize this disgusting soy slop is a substitute for a steak. And Beyond Meat stock soared 70% in pre-market trading on Monday, rising from 64 cents to $1.08, continuing momentum after Friday's 24% gain. The plant-based meat alternative company shares are experiencing significant upward pressure amid growing interest in small-cap stocks with high short interest, according to recent data. Approximately 10.5% of Beyond Meat shares are held short, representing about 39.6 million shares, with days to cover around 4.4, making the stock vulnerable to a potential short squeeze. And guys, you got to be careful. Any of these heavily shorted stocks, they are devoid of reality. They just come in, pile in, and they squeeze. And there's no underlying business here, but the mechanics of the market are what they are. And that's why you got to be careful shorting anything these days. The stock movement comes despite no fundamental company news or announcements, suggesting the price action is primarily technical in nature and driven by short covering and speculative trading rather than changes in the company's business outlook. You know, I remember during the shortages of 2021, you go to the supermarket, there was no steak, there was no chicken, there was no pork, but the Beyond section was fully stocked. People bought every scrap of real meat in the whole freaking store, and then they decided, to hell with it, I'll have beans and rice before I touch this garbage. So I kind of knew this company was toast all along. And look, this company is dying, guys. I mean, yeah, it's up 54% this morning, trading at $1.01, up sharply from 50 cents and change that we were at a few days ago. But again, yeah, we've squeezed all the way back to where prices were on October 13th. If we zoom out on this one, you can tell this is one of those silly Cathie Wood ARK Invest 2020s bubble stocks. All right. So, yeah, here's the long-term trend. Can you even see this 50% rally from this morning? No, you can't. This is dead money here. This company is bound for bankruptcy. Nobody wants to eat this garbage. That's what it comes down to. So if you're one of the apes that's squeezing the stock, congratulations on your gain. Don't forget to take profits at some point, guys. A company like this ain't going to last forever. And guys, that's about all I got for you this morning. A lot going on in France. France, chill out. All right. I just chill out. Credit rating, the pension thing. We're all good here. Keep an eye on that French bank. We've had a lot of issues with regionals here in the U.S. The big banks in the U.S. have been fine, but to see a big spike or a big hit to a G-SIB bank in France strikes me as an isolated case. No word about any deposit flight or anything like that. But that's one to keep an eye on for sure, as well as that PrimaLend story. Now three, that is a trend, the subprime bankruptcies in the auto sector. And I just want to say thank you very much to all my magnanimous melon heads on YouTube and Patreon. Thank you guys so much for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. We got links down below to all that good stuff. Should you feel so inclined, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.